Ladies and gentlemen, today the Warner Archive Collection is proud to present a very special podcast. We are interviewing today one of the loveliest and most talented stars in the pantheon of Hollywood history, the glorious Miss Rhonda Fleming, who is one of the co-stars of Out of the Past, one of the definitive film noir films from RKO that we've just released on Blu-ray disc. And because of that, we've asked Miss Fleming to join us on this podcast. So Rhonda Fleming, welcome to the Warner Archive Collection podcast. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, George, so much. I'm really excited to do this. It's been a long time looking back on some of these films. I've really had to get my head right where it should be, and I hope that I'm ready. But it's going to be fun to talk with you, George.
Well, absolutely, and I think I'm going to ask a very basic question first that everybody would want to know, and that is, how did you get your start in the movies? Because you've had such an amazing career, and what made you choose a film career?
I didn't choose it, George. I was running to Beverly Hills High School one morning. I was 16 years old, and I'd never even been in a studio. I didn't know anything about that. All I saw was a movie one time, by myself, but I wanted to be a singer. That's all I wanted to do. I studied singing. So I'm running to Beverly Hall one morning, and I see this black limousine going around the block, and this man is looking at me, and I thought, oh my gosh, nobody's around, and Mother warned me about people like that, and so I ran faster across the street, took my shoes off, and ran faster, and he went around the second block, and the third block, he blocked my path so I couldn't cross the street. I was frozen, and this was turned out to be the famous Henry Wilson, who was known for finding Rock Hudson, and he would see people on the street like myself, and that's what he saw. I don't know what he saw in me. I have no idea, but he stopped me, and he said, young lady, and so help me, Lord. He said, young lady, have you ever thought of being in motion pictures? And I said, no, sir, and I'm late for school, and I've got to go. And he said, well, where do you live? And I told him I live with my mother, and so I told him where I lived, and I ran off to school because I was late. I was just starting Beverly Hall. And so I forgot all about it, got home, and sure enough, he'd been there to see my mother, and he just asked her, he said, look, when she gets a little older, and I could I handle her as her agent? Mother said, well, we'll see what happens, and he gave her the right to call me in the years ahead. And so one time, he became David O. Selznick's right assistant, right top guy, would say, David Selznick, the famous films that he made. And so I had a call from Henry. He said, I'd like you to come over to David O. Selznick's studio in Culver City. And I didn't know much about anybody in the business at that point. I was so naive. So whatever they saw in me, I'll never understand, because I got over there, walked in the office with Henry, and there was Mr. Selznick, who was big as life, and also Alfred Hitchcock. Now, I didn't know much about them, but I tell you, they were so incredible people, and they had me do a cold reading. And I sat down and read the cold reading. I didn't know what it meant, but both of them said, we're going to give you a screen test. Well, Henry said, look, I'm going to take you to lunch. And so I raced off with him to the commissary to have lunch. And all the time, some men came in from their office, and I'm sitting trying to eat lunch, and they're looking at me and staring at me. And I thought, what on earth are they looking at? And Henry said, just keep eating. And then I said, Henry, then as one man got up to leave, he walked over to Henry and whispered something in Henry's ear. And I said, what did he say? He said, never mind the screen test, we're going to sign her. That is an incredible, what do I call it? It's like a mystery. I don't know. To start like that, I didn't have any experience. The next thing I know, I'm being signed to a 7-year contract without a screen test. And about a few weeks later, they did have somebody training me a little bit to prepare me. But a few weeks later, Henry called. He said, well, Rhonda, you've got your first part. I said, well, what is it? He said, well, you're going to be in a film called Spellbound with Ingrid Bergman and Gregory Peck, and Ingrid Bergman's the doctor. And I said, well, what's the part? And I mean, I was so naive. He said, well, Rhonda, you're going to be playing a mental institution patient. I said, a what? He said, I said, well, what kind of patient? He said, you're going to play the role of a nymphomaniac in the film. I said, what's that mean? He said, you don't know what it is? I said, no, I don't. I went home and told my mother, and she said, she didn't know. Mother was a devout Mormon. She said, I don't know what that is. So we looked it up in the dictionary, and that's the only way I knew what it was. And then, of course, Mother was a famous actress in New York. She did tremendous roles as a famous woman that played with Al Jolson and dancing around at the Winter Garden Theater, traveled all over. And my grandfather was a famous actor in Salt Lake City. So I must have inherited something, because I sure don't know how I played the role of a nymphomaniac in the first 10 minutes of that film that had such incredible reviews on it. In fact, they tried to enlarge the role for me, but it just kind of took away from Ingrid, you know, who was the star of the film. So anyway, I that's the way I started, which is, you know, it's incredible. I just call it a Cinderella story, because that's what it was.
And with Mr. Selznick being such a legend in the business and having produced Gone with the Wind and so many amazing films, and then he was an independent producer, so he was very selective about the films he made and the people he had under contract. So the fact that he saw that in you, just like Ingrid Bergman was under contract to him, that's very much a great way to get your start.
It sure was. And I said, what on earth did they see in me to make me play that role? I was a young, naive, you know, just in a little, pretty little feminine the skirt and top, and Mr. Selznick said, it's because we like the naivety that was in you, the young youth. And so he said, that's why he gave me that role. I said, I didn't even know what it meant, Mr. Selznick. He said, but you played it beautifully. So, and Alfred Hitchcock was such a sweetheart. He saw me on the set one day, or rather, walking on the lot one day, and I'm walking towards him, and he's walking towards me, and he stopped me, and he said, Rhonda, did you ever see yourself in the film? I said, no. He said, all right, I'm taking you right in there right now to show you. Took me in one of those rooms and played the film for me, and all I did was fall on the floor. I couldn't believe when I saw myself on screen for the first time. I just couldn't believe it. And I fell on the floor. He said, Ronnie, you were terrific in it. I want you to be happy that you did the part. I said, I still don't understand anything, but he was such a good man. When he actually asked me to be with him when they honored him down the line, he asked me to be with him at the table where he was being honored. And I sat next to him and kind of held his hand because he was drinking a lot of wine. But he was so sweet, and I understand that some women didn't like him at all, but with me, I was a newcomer, and he was just so, he wrote me a beautiful letter afterwards. Then I stayed with him that evening, and I have that letter. It was so precious, from Alfred Hitchcock.
Well, that's something to treasure. And one of the things interesting about Hitchcock was he came to this country under the aegis of David O. Selznick. David O. Selznick brought him here from England, and David O. Selznick was crafty at taking people he had under contract and loaning them out to other studios, and that's how he would finance some of his films. So is it true that Selznick actually lent you to RKO to do Out of the Past, the film that we're going to talking about today?
Yes, he did. He loaned me out for several films. What did I do? Let's see, I did Spellbound, and I did Spiral Staircase was the next one.
Right.
Which was incredible to do with Spiral Staircase, where I played a really incredible role.
With Dorothy McGuire.
Yes, she was incredible. With Ethel Barrymore. And then, you know, and Out of the Past with Robert Mitchum, I can't believe what happened to me.
Yes.
I wasn't prepared for any of it. It was just an amazing gift from God, I guess, because I had a chance to be top actors in these roles with top stars. So it was just beautiful, and I'm so thankful to the Lord for having given me such an opportunity and somehow he was with me, because I sure don't know how I did it, but.
Now, Out of the Past brought you together on screen with Robert Mitchum, and you had some really electrifying scenes in that film.
You know, I couldn't believe that was absolutely the number one noir film of this part of the world, I guess. Out of the Past was the third noir, dark, mysterious, top featured role. And yes, I was loaned out to RKO by David O. Selznick. But I played in just a few scenes, a very mysterious secretary and My scenes with Bob Mitchum were terrific. They added to the mystery, I think, in this film in a big way.
Absolutely.
Interestingly, though, I couldn't tell you just what my role was about, but it worked, and I apparently played it well. But I'm honored to work the number one film with director Jacques Tournier. He helped me in playing this very unusual role, so I was grateful for that.
And we're grateful as well, because the film is one of the most beloved in our library. The next film I'm going to ask you about is a film that isn't in our library, but I wish it was. With all the thousands of films that we have, this is a particular favorite film of mine and something I saw when I was very young, and it's the first film I remember seeing you in, and I was awestruck by the movie, and that is A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
Oh, I tell you, that is just touches me when you say that, because one morning, David L. Selznick said, I want you to go over to Paramount and try out for a film that was to be done by this singer that I always wanted to sound like. She was going to play the part, but she took off and went off to France and never came back. So it was open for some newcomer, which I still was. So he sent me over to Paramount, and there were about 200 girls trying out for this, and they put me in front of a big glass in a private room, and the piano was in one side, and this big glass, they could see me, but I couldn't see them on the other side of the glass, so I was scared. But I sang in this high little, sweet little high voice that I planned to be a classical singer, and I'm singing in my high voice, and pretty soon around the side of the stage comes Bing Crosby, and he said, Rhonda, come with me. He took my hand, took me on the sound stage, and he said, now, Rhonda, you have a lovely voice, but if you're going to sing with me, you have to sing down a whole octave. I said, Bing, I never sang down a whole octave, but I'll try it, and it turned out to be the best thing I ever did. And he just was wonderful. He was such a sweetheart. They tested me. They did a beautiful scene where I was being screen tested, when I'm rising out of bed and looking up at the sun coming in the window, and I'm singing with the sun in the morning and the moon at night, and it just was a terrific screen test. And then he and the director, who were just a wonderful guy, they wanted me for that part, and out of 200 girls, I got that role. And Bing was just a sweetheart to me, and I'll never, ever forget how he would just move his body aside so that the camera could see me. My first Technicolor film. And that's why they began to call me Queen of Technicolor, I guess, because after appearing in all these black and white films, suddenly the Technicolor changed my career, and suddenly they began to call me the Queen of Technicolor, which, honestly, I didn't like. I just wanted to be known as a good actress. But then I went on to do many Technicolor films after that, which was very new at the time because there was so much black and white. In fact, the black and white films were the noir films.
Right.
And gave me stronger roles, where the Technicolor films were more romantic and the stories were light and different. But I loved doing a variety of over 40 films, and it was such a blessing. Bing was, I just loved that man, and he really helped me so much, you know. In fact, he never wanted to star alone above the title, so he let me star with him, this newcomer, Bing Crosby, Rhonda Fleming, in this film.
And I love the song Once and for Always. I always think about that film and that song, and because that film
is why is it not in
it's not part of the Warner Archive Collection because the film is now owned by Universal. So
is it now owned by Universal?
Yes, all the older Paramount films are owned by Universal. So I wish we did own it, but I couldn't have an interview with you without calling out this magnificent, timeless film, because we're not here just to be self-promotional for our own films. We're here to talk about you and your career, and you worked at virtually every studio, I think, and every genre. I mean, that's what's so impressive about your career, both on the big screen and television.
Had so many wonderful parts. It was just awesome, you know, Spiral Staircase and The Past, and then to be with Bing and this one, and it was such a terrific film. I'm so sorry that you don't have it in the library. And then, of course, we went on to do While the City Sleeps with Fritz Lang. Which
is in our library and is part of the Warner Archive Collection.
Which is the one that I really didn't want to do because it was what my moral values didn't stand for. You know, a cheating wife or betraying her husband and lying. And I almost turned it down, but I guess I wanted to work with Fritz Lang and a great cast, but some of those naughty and not so nice roles were actually wonderful opportunities to play a wider variety of roles and not get stuck in just nice and sweet roles. It's a favorite of many of my fans, or these kind of films.
Absolutely. It's a separation of an actor versus the role they play on the screen or on the stage is not the reflection of who the person is as a person. And I think that's why you've had such a wonderful career with so many diverse roles. And I liked seeing you in comedies. You worked with Bob Hope.
That was cute. One day on the set with Bing, Bob Hope walked on the set. Bing introduced me to Bob, and Bob said, "Well, Bing, if you can use her, I guess I can too." So the next, after I finished the film, then he invited me over to play, what is the name of that film? I'd like to forget it.
Alias Jesse James? Or The Great Lover?
The Great Lover, which was black and white, and it made me kind of trying to make me more of a European woman, not American. And so then 10 years later, he did Alias Jesse James, and that was such fun. We had the best time in that, and Bob was wonderful. And I did a lot of shows with Bob, you know, all kinds of shows, and traveled with him, and he was just wonderful. Boy, I'll tell you, what an opportunity to Bing and Bob. I just don't know how they work together, because Bing would love to tell jokes right up to where they'd say action. I'm waiting for my cue, and he's telling a joke, and all of a sudden I said, "Wait a minute, I'm new at this. Where's my cue?" But with Bob, he would rehearse and rehearse and rehearse, and I was always ready for it.
Well, now, you also did four films with a graduate of Warner Brothers, but after he left Warner Brothers, he did four films with you, and he went on to become the President of the United States.
I have
to ask you about Ronald Reagan.
I always say, people ask me, who are your favorite actors or favorite men to work with? And I said, to start with, it was the three B's, and then I added the two R's. But the three B's are Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Burt Lancaster. You know, out of the past, or the one that I did with Burt Lancaster was one of the biggest films of all time, Gunfight at the OK Corral.
Gunfight.
Burt Lancaster was just incredible. That was the one that everybody just loves. I get fan mail from all over the world, all places I've never even heard of, that look to see the films. They send photographs, and they send these beautiful letters. So many of them, ones that we're talking about, and then the Gunfight at OK Corral was definitely one of the favorite ones. And Burt was a sweetheart to work with. And then, of course, with Ronnie Reagan, he was, to me, another actor at that time, because that's way back.
Right.
And he was sort of towards the last part of his career as an actor, and I was sort of in the middle, just starting up there, you know. And for some reason, they kept pairing us together in four films at Paramount. I thought, this is strange. What a nice, wonderful man he was. But I thought, he was a wonderful actor, but he didn't have the greatest roles in these films. But he took them, and I think he kind of wanted to move on, which, of course, he did, thank
God. Yes, he did.
When I went to the White House to see him, because I was invited to, four films, you get to know someone well, and he was a sweetheart. I knew his wife, and we were friends, and I went to the White House, and I said, what am I going to say to him as I get up to see him? I'm in line, and I say hello to his wife, and then I get up to Raleigh, and I said, I was one of the sons of men. I said, hi, Tennessee's partner. And he gave me a big hug. I couldn't think of anything else to say. It was just one of the films. So,
of course.
It just the memories that I have are just awesome. I don't think I could possibly remember everything that I did, but it's so amazing. And I just wanted to be sure that I could remember some of the things you're asking me.
Well, we're delighted to talk about them, because we could spend hours and hours talking about so many films that you did. And I know that we'll have to do this again some other time, but I really want to thank you for giving us...
I just wanted to add one more thing about my wonderful Ingrid Bergman, who I adored.
Oh, please.
Ingrid Bergman was so wonderful to me. And right after we worked together, she went overseas, where my young husband was in the service. And she said, when she was on stage, she said, if there's a Sergeant Thomas Lane there, I want you to come backstage. And he was there, and he went backstage, and she told him, I worked with your wife, and she was so good in that film. And so when I kept in touch with her. She called me directly when she got home from Germany. And she didn't even have her secretary. She just said, Rhonda, this is Ingrid. And we were always so close. She was a most wonderful person, and I want to be sure that I let people know that Ingrid Bergman that I met her in Spellbound, and she was an angel to me.
Well, I've heard lots of wonderful things about her, and I had the good fortune to meet her daughter, Pia Lindstrom.
What happened? Where's her daughter?
She's living in New York, and she became a newscaster.
She
became a very famous newscaster in local New York news as a young woman and was working at all the major networks. But when we were promoting Casablanca many years ago, several of Ingrid's children, both Pia Lindstrom and the Rossellini children, helped to celebrate in the 60th anniversary of Casablanca. So I got to meet them that time. So they spoke very highly of their mom, and it's wonderful that you had a chance to work with her. Everybody says that she was a lovely lady.
And I went over to Israel, and she was working, making that film. She was playing the role of
Golda Meir.
Yes, Golda Meir, and she had cancer. You know, she was very struggling with. They had to pad her up to make her look heavier, and she was padded up. And I just grabbed her and said, "Honey, I just love you and thank you." And she was, but I could see she was suffering. But she finished that film like first class, and it came out. It was a great. She played it so beautifully, and then not long after that, she was gone. But what a wonderful woman she was.
What a wonderful woman you are to spend the time with us today, especially to talk about Out of the Past and your wonderful career.
Oh, Out of the Past was just I think they're showing that in December, six of my films, I think, and they're showing Out of the Past about 8 o'clock that sometime in December. And so I said, I don't really have a starring part, but I'm just so happy to be a part of it.
Absolutely.
Number one film, and it was a wonderful film. And then later, 10 years later, I worked with Bob Mitchum in a very beautiful film that was very spiritual. And I was asked, that was when my sister had just passed away. So it was a very unusual film that had a very spiritual basis to it. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it was good to work with Bob again. He was quiet. He didn't always talk a lot, but he was a great actor.
Indian, and you are such a lovely, kind person to spend the time with us today. We deeply appreciate it. So on behalf of all the listeners to the Warner Archive podcast, Ms. Rhonda Fleming, have a lovely day.
Thank you. And I hope that everyone who watches this film will be a blessing. It'll be a blessing to each one. But when is this coming out in Blu-ray?
It's already available on Blu-ray. We released it in August to great acclaim, and we're very proud of it. And we're so honored that you would share your time with us today to talk about it and your many other films. So,
George, it was a pleasure for me. Thank you. And very much, and I'll look forward to hearing it later.
Absolutely, and thank you everyone for listening to this Warner Archive Collection podcast.